It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh no, is it everywhere? No, sure, stay and sort that out. We can have dinner another time. Amazing.
Whether it's cancelled plans...
Ah, fuck! Get in the kitchen and calm down.
Or the need for a quick, convenient distraction. Introducing Goodfella's Mini Pizzas. Four mini pizzas made with respect that cook in 11 minutes. Goodfella's Minis. Embrace the unexpected.
Welcome everybody to the bloodandmud.com podcast, your sweary pipe bomb of rugby knowledge. It's episode 80. We are relentlessly plodding on despite all advice from sensible people. I am Lee Calvert, the editor of bloodandmud.com, and that gentleman over there still is...
I remain Josh Gardner of rugbyshirtwatch.com. Do you know that 80 episodes of the pod now, and I did some research before we came on air...
Oh, did you?
That means that there's now been more episodes of this podcast than either 24 in its original run...
Yes.
Or Star Trek, the original series.
And I think it's fairly safe to say that we're right up there in that cultural bracket.
Exactly. We are just as culturally, you know, influential as both of those TV shows.
Yes. The, you know, handful of people that listen think that we are definitely as culturally influential as those people.
100%. When are we going to get a reboot? That's what I want to know.
You can get in touch with us in the great cultural pantheon that we live in, at bloodandmud.com, I am, and there's Lee at bloodandmud.com. And what about you, Josh?
At Josh Gardner, at Rugby Shirt Watch, or indeed rugbyshirtwatch.com.
This pod is available on Acast, it's available on Apple Podcasts. You can leave reviews on Apple Podcasts. We've not had a review for a while, but, you know, that's fine. But
if
you can
take not hurt by it at all.
If you can take a couple of minutes, it'd help us out. Thank you very much. Speaking of Twitter, Josh, and I was thinking about this this week for some reason, why don't you have a blue tick?
Why don't I have a blue tick?
Yeah, because
I'm not
you're like,
nearly important enough.
Yeah, but you've got your own website and you're like identified as. Is it because you don't say which like magazine you're a big noise in?
I do. I mean, I do like to keep that out of the public domain, if at all possible.
That's fine. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just saying,
purely because I don't wish to have my opinions associated with the venerable publications for which I work. Also, nobody gives a fuck what I think, so I think that's another reason why I'm not verified.
Yeah, I was wondering, because there's all kinds of sort of, well, let's be honest, low-profile journalists who get a blue tick. I was thinking maybe why you haven't got one.
Yeah, and I mean, the fact that I've only got like 1,500 followers or something, I think they look at me and go, this guy does not matter. Nobody's going
to
try him.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to batter your self-worth by asking you that question, Josh. I was just genuinely interested.
I'm perfectly happy with where I am, but you know, the truth is that Twitter would look at me and go, nobody's going to attempt to impersonate this man.
Oh, God, because that's what it's about, isn't it? Verified.
And that's fair enough, because if they wish to impersonate me, really... Aim higher, guys.
Well,
aim
somebody higher. Did create a mini Andy Powell profile off the back of his pod, so you never know. There might be a, you know, fake Josh Gardner. Anyway, what are we going to talk about tonight? We've got some player-spotted stuff. We've got quite a bit of news this week. I think we need to have a conversation
about.
Yes,
it's been a very news-heavy week, hasn't it? And not necessarily in the most enjoyable way, but...
Yeah, we'll talk about what we learned from the weekend, as usual. I've got a magnificent story I've discovered about Mike Teague. I want to share with everybody. And then we've got the shit good, and then that should probably just about do us, I think.
Yeah.
We had an hour and a half last week, so we have to, you know, bring it back within the realms of what's possible. Now then, the player spotted. I say it's a player spotted, but it's a player spotted variation. One, Kevin Heaney got in touch with us on Twitter. This is not the variation, this is something else.
Okay.
Well, he got in touch with us on Twitter, and he said, a few years ago, I saw an absolutely steamboated Chris Robshaw pissing on the back of a boot in Galway at 2 a.m.
Excellent.
And I said, now that is a very good story, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to disqualify it for being a little bit too interesting.
Yeah. I mean, if Chris Robshaw was Andy Powell.
Yeah, no, but it still wouldn't be allowed. It'd be still a good story. It wouldn't be allowed in here.
I don't know, see, because Andy Powell being smashed and pissing down around the back of a boot is kind of just a Thursday for him, isn't it?
That is true. There is that, yeah.
Whereas Robshaw, clean-cut England captain, purveyor of Beats headphones, etc. It's a little bit out of character.
What do you think that Chris Robshaw listens to in his Beats headphones? I'm going for Keane.
Oh, he is so a keen man. Like, he's somebody who would have been in, who will fight, like, you'll get a few beers in him and you'll say that Star Sailor's first album was an underrated classic.
I actually don't mind Star Sailor.
Get out.
It must be a Wigan thing.
Got your daddy's eyes and daddy was
I did like that one. I did like that
worst
one. In the Crossfire is a good
ever
song.
Made.
Anyway. Well, yeah, but he definitely listens to something like King, Chris Robshaw. But he did come back, Kevin, and say, well, it would have been a better story, wouldn't it, if I'd said that I'd seen Chris Robshaw actually inside the boots looking at the different men's grooming products. So, yeah, that would have been much better.
Yeah,
that would have been straight in.
Straight in
so,
there, yeah.
Please, people, if you're going to send him in, then please. Now, here's the slight variation on Player Spotted, right? Do you remember last week when we were talking about the Birdcage and I did that clip and said it sounded like Mr. Haskell, right?
I do vividly remember that, yeah.
Elaine Jones emails, and she says, right. Hi, Lee, bracket, and Josh, close bracket. Like an 80s song title.
Yeah, I like it.
She said, I'm an avid listener of the pod, and just wanted to send a note thanking you for merging two of my favourite things last week, rugby and theatre. Then she goes on to say, I work at the National Theatre and have just finished a show with Nathan Lane.
Really?
Nathan Lane was the guy in the Birdcage. Yeah, I knew that bit.
Yes,
of Lane,
yeah,
to be fair.
Yeah, yeah.
I did know that. I love Nathan Lane. He said, basically, Nathan kept me and the rest of the team in hysterics for most of the time he was here, and I often make the team's and Nathan's ears bleed, moaning about the state of the Welsh team while he was around. He must have loved that.
Yeah.
So I cannot tell you how happy it made us when you played the clip bringing the worlds of theatre and rugby together. I've just done like a linking thing with my fingers. You can't see that, ladies and gentlemen, but like lobsters.
Does that mean that she played this segment to Nathan Lane?
No, I don't think so. I would love to think that that was true.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that guy was in Stuart Little, you know? That's
one of my favourite stories about Nathan Lane, which is probably it's one of the most tragicomic things ever, was he's from an Irish immigrant family, isn't he, Nathan Lane? Have you heard the story about when he came out to his mother?
No.
He said to his mother, he said, Mum, I'm gay. And she said, I'd rather you were dead. And he said, I knew you'd understand. Which I don't. Oh. And he always tells that story. And it's the most. It's obviously, I did. When you hear it, I do exactly what you just did. But it's incredibly tragicomic.
It's horrible.
Yes.
But hilarious.
But hilarious.
That
yeah.
is a hell of a comeback. Fair play to him.
Yes. Anyway, she finished off Elaine with perhaps the one and only Nathan Lane will be mentioned on. Perhaps this is the one and only time Nathan Lane will be mentioned on a rugby podcast. Probably.
Well, no.
Or maybe it's two if you read out this on the show, which I've just done, Elaine.
Yeah,
thank you for the letter.
There you go.
But she said, unless there's any room for a feature about a musical of Sean Holly songs, and you could pick which actors would play which players.
Oh, God, I like that.
I do like that. Ladies and gentlemen, we throw that out to you. Sean Holly songs, the musical, featuring different players, and I want the actors who will actually play them. I'm not doing this week. I've not done any preparation, but I'm throwing it out there, but maybe we'll come back to it.
Yes, we will come back. We will 100% be coming back to this. Oh, yes.
Right then, that was the player spot stuff. So, yeah, Nathan Lane and Welsh rugby.
Yeah. Never the twain shall meet, think again.
Shall we talk about some news from this week before we get on to Apple
the
weekend?
We probably should, actually, shouldn't we? Yeah.
Do you want to start?
Yes.
What's my start?
I guess the biggest story of this week has probably been all of this palaver vis-a-vis the whole extending the season that Premiership Rugby want to do. Premiership Rugby also sort of want to make the England and France play the Six Nations a week later than everyone else. Does that make sense?
Yeah, do you know, I find myself in these situations. You know, like if somebody hits you on the knee with a hammer and you kick them.
Yeah.
If something begins with the Premier Rugby Limited have decided that, I immediately want to go, no.
Yeah, no, it's almost like they have no... They don't have the interests of the game at heart in any way, shape, or form. They've already not content with fucking up the Heineken Cup, which, let's not beat around the bush, as fine as the Champions Cup is, it's not anywhere near as good as what the Heineken Cup used to be. I don't know why, but it's just not.
Why is it? I don't know. Is it a nostalgia thing? Is it because of the... I mean, it's weird because Heineken is just this, like, you know, identikit, nondescript, bland lager, aren't they? But for some reason, it's just a... I don't know, yeah, it's odd.
Champions Cup just is a shit name for a thing.
Not as bad as a rugby championship, but it's bad, I'll take it. Yeah.
No, but it is bad. But it's equally bland.
Yes.
And it's just, there's something, it's got the whiff of fucking new money and entitlement about it, which the Heineken Cup never had for some reason.
And yeah, it doesn't make any sense, but I'm kind of with you, yeah.
Yeah, I
mean, to play devil's advocate for a minute with the Premier Rugby Limited, they do have a deal that lets people be released for England, and they get, I know that they negotiate for some money for that, but they generally seem to be saying that they're committed to the future of England and stuff like that, don't they?
They say that, but then they're saying, you know, let's look at, let me just read a list.
Okay.
All right. Rory Best, Billy Vunipola, Rob Carney, Dan Bigger, Israel Dagg, Tom Savage, Freddie Burns, Sam Simmons, Charles Piatow, Manu Tuilagi, George Cruis, Ben Teo. That is just a small sample of high-profile players who've got injured in some way, some serious, some not that serious, since the start of the season. We're only 4 weeks in.
Do you think Ben Teo's actually injured?
Well, maybe.
Because I think I'd kind of go, oh no, I can't play anymore in this, I'm afraid.
Oh, I'm just cramping up. Oh. Yeah, but,
yeah, but
look
on,
at
yes,
how many
yes.
of those players injured our Lions as well, by the way, or were playing on the Lions tour. Like, and Premiership Rugby said, like, I'm not saying that it's, you know, that it's some sort of karmic thing that they're, you know, like I think you said before we went on air, you know, it's not necessarily the case that all of these players getting injured is somehow rugby's fault. But
no, well, it could be rugby's fault. But my point is that Peter Tom, no, what's his name? Peter, the old guy, goes on Scrum 5 every now and again.
Peter Thomas, no.
Oh, that's the guy who owns Cardiff. Can't think of his name.
Yes.
Him
I
anyway.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Him anyway, who's brought onto Scrum 5 to actually, you know, disagree with something sometimes. He did a big piece about, you know, the game is getting worse. He said, well, actually, you know, it could just be a cluster of injuries in the space of a couple of weeks, and then we might go a few months with nothing actually happening. So it's, you know, let's look at the whole season when it finishes and see how we...
And, I'm maybe with you there, but I just think they want to give players less rest. And, like, the opposite is, like, players need to be playing less, not more. Like, if you're in any way serious about... like player welfare, they don't care about player welfare. They don't care about the international game. They're trying to act like football clubs, like, and they're holding everyone else to ransom. And I get it. They're losing. They're all fucking losing money, vast amounts of it every year.
Yes.
But like, and if they can't attract more TV money and more sponsorship, and at least break even, then yeah, how is the game going to survive? I'm really sympathetic to that. But at the same time, it's like, well, maybe you need to cut your cloth accordingly. Like,
yeah, and I think it's always, you know, the simple fact of the matter is, and I'm sorry to get all, you know, philosophical about this, but the simple fact of the matter is that they probably do, I actually disagree, I think they do care about player welfare. I think, you know, given a world in which they didn't have pressures, they do care about player welfare, but actually the only thing that exists in things like this is the bottom line.
Yeah,
that and everything becomes subordinate to the bottom line. So therefore, that's why it's like, well, yes, we'll have some player welfare initiatives. Yes, we'll do the mental health stuff. However, when it comes down to it, we've got to find out how to fix the bottom line. And like with any industry, quite honestly, any industry or any work sector, ultimately, if you're going to get the bottom line sorted, you either have to charge more for people who are doing your services, or you've got to squeeze more out of the people who work for you.
Yeah, and that's fair enough. But
and how's about that for a pro North Daily Mirror style view, ladies and gentlemen?
Or you cut your cloth accordingly. You know, a team like Saracens crowing that they need more cap space to pay all these players that they've developed. I've got a lot of sympathy for that, given that, you know, you live by the massive money sword, you die by the massive money sword to an extent. But it's like, I mean, players like Billy Vunipola have suggested that if it meant him having to play less rugby, he'd take a pay cut. And while I don't think that's the answer, it does show that like players are looking at this welfare issue very, very seriously. You know, their bodies can't handle the demands of the game at the moment, and that's before you consider like that's just like their well-being day to day. Like that's before you consider the long-term detrimental impact that they might be doing to themselves by flogging themselves constantly. Like, do you see that the Aaron Hernandez thing that came out in the States this week?
No, I didn't know.
To be honest with you, it should have been like front page news for every contact sport loving country in the world. But as is always the way with these things, they'd rather ignore it, I think. But like Aaron Hernandez used to be star tight end for world champion New England Patriots until he was arrested and convicted for murder a few years back. And then even more awfully, he was sent to prison for life and killed himself in prison last year. Anyway, this isn't just a massive downer. There was a point there. I mean, actually, it is a fucking massive downer, but there is a point to my massive downer. In his suicide note, he asked that his brain be tested for CTE, which we probably all by now know by now is
Good luck pronouncing this. Go on.
Chronic traumatic
encephalopathy.
Encephalopathy. There we go. Degenerative brain disease found in people who've sustained repeated head injuries, particularly boxers and people who play contact sports. Headaches, memory loss, personality changes, angry outbursts. It's a horrible, scary thing because there's no way to cure it. And they found it in 100% of the NFL players they've tested. But it was discovered that Hernandez, who, let's not forget, committed at least one murder, had the most severe case of CTE they'd ever seen. He was 27 years old and he had the brain of a 67-year-old man with dementia. I mean, that's horrifying by itself. But, I mean, obviously rugby's not as violent as the NFL and the hits aren't as vicious or frequent, yada, yada, yada. But I'll tell you what, NFL players mostly only play half the time in a 60-minute game and they play 16 games a season.
Yeah, there is that, isn't there?
Rugby, you know, players can be on the field for 80 minutes, playing at least 30 games a season, probably. Internationals playing more, a lot more. Like, you're telling me that we're not sitting on a fucking time bomb here? So the least that we should be doing, really, is responsible owners, legislators, fans.
Stakeholders, to use the word.
Jesus. But, like, yeah, it's saying that players should be, not playing as much and getting more rest. Because, like, I don't fancy the thought of being tacitly responsible for, like, George North, say, barely being able to fucking remember what year it is by the time he's in his late 50s. Like,
but isn't this plan, though, if it's going to be a longer season, right, and I'm not saying I agree with it, but if it's going to be a longer season, does that mean there's more space between the games? Or is it, and I'll be honest, I've not seen that much detail on this. So, are they planning to play more games in a longer season or the same number of games across a longer period, a greater period of time?
Initially, they claim it's the same number of games over a longer period, I think.
Right.
But I think we all know how that is going to... And that's certainly the fear of the players' union, that they'll look at these free weekends and they'll go, well, we could slot another game in, especially given that nobody is making money on rugby at the moment.
It's a like thin end of the wedge thing.
Yeah, then the bottom line, as you say, has got to be considered somewhere by these teams. Yeah. And you know, at the moment they're getting, you know, particularly the Premiership, they've got a fucking TV deal that's worth way more money than what they're actually worth. Which is...
There is a kind of a real economic that might come and bite soon, which didn't quite happen with the football because people are still competing with each other. But actually, at some point, BT Sport are going to go, do you know what? Nobody else will be fucking buying this.
Yeah. And that's the problem. Look at the Pro 12. They can't fucking give those rights away. And nobody's trying, I'm not going to say that the Premiership isn't a more coherent and saleable offering.
Well, it is, isn't it? But
Pro 12,
yeah,
of course
but it's not. But,
however,
you know,
it's fucking... You know, it's the amount of money that they paid for it is vast, and the amount of money, like, it's being basically used by companies like BT and like, beIN Sports, whatever it is, in France. They're basically buying rugby rights for prestige. And once they're established, and they've got the prestige, are they going to keep giving vast amount of fucking money to the to rugby? I doubt it.
We shall see. I think, generally speaking, I come back to my original point. Anytime Premier Rugby Limited have an idea, the core of me just goes, there's something wrong with this, isn't there?
Yeah.
And maybe that's a problematic response. I don't know. But I doubt it. I'll be honest.
No, I think you're probably quite spot on there, to be honest. Anyway,
speaking,
I think I've probably gone on a bit too much about that, haven't I?
Let's talk about some more news, shall we? Which is that one. Kingsley Jones has used his extensive Skype network to Skype somebody in Toronto and get himself the Canada job.
I'm not sure how on earth that's happened, but good luck to him. That's all I can say. Wasn't he employed by, wasn't he supposed to be like the WRU's new head of Skyping people?
He can do that from wherever, though. That's the beauty of these jobs, isn't it?
I suppose it is.
I got approached once on the email from some guy at some company, and he said, we're interested in you coming to do this for us. I was like, what? And he wanted me to set myself up as an online tutor for blogging, right? And I could devise these half-hour-long classes of how to blog. Wow. And I was like, well, one, who's going to pay for that? And two, I'm not sure I can explain it anyway, apart from when you just write something, don't you?
I think you 100% should have gone for that.
But the thing is, if I'd sat down and gone for it, I could have charged some poor fucking schmuck at the other end of it on the screen, like I'm looking at you now. I could have charged them, you know, for X amount of money to sit there and go, oh, well, you've got to make sure it's this. Or I'd have invented some bollocks, let's be honest.
Oh, of course you would.
And I can't help but think that's what Kingsley Jones' job interview was like. Oh, yeah, I had a brilliant time at the Dragons. I'm an absolutely excellent...
But no, his job was supposed to be, he was basically moved sideways in the WRU, and he was supposed to be like head of the Exiles program.
Yeah.
Because we joked. We literally joked about how he'd been given a job that was basically Skyping Welsh players in far away places, like Bath.
Yeah.
And Worcester. So he's basically done a month of that and gone, nah. I'm all right.
But that job, how involved can that job be? Is he like ringing Luke Charteris up and going, "Are we all right, Luke?
I tell you what,
I'm not bad, Kingsley.
Keep him well? Yeah. Yeah, that's just playing for Wales? Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
But this is basically yet another example of how, despite all evidence to the contrary, in areas outside of, the British Isles, and indeed tier one rugby, people still think Welsh people make good coaches.
Are you going to unleash your Steve Tandy rant now, or are you keeping that?
I'm keeping that one on ice. But I'm just you always want it. I guarantee you, if you go to any tier two or tier three country, and at some point in the last 10 years, an obscure Welsh coach from the 90s or early 2000s will have been their head coach.
Hasn't Lynn Howells has spent the last decade doing that? Has he touring around Eastern Europe?
In Russia, yes. And various other places. And Phil Davis at Namibia. And, you know, it's because they're Welsh and they can go, oh, I coached Cardiff Blues or Scarlets or Dragons or whatever. They go, ooh, but are you actually any fucking good? And the answer is no.
Yeah, but I've got a video of Wales in the 70s on my phone. Do you want to watch that?
It's that. People still think that they're all still Wales in the 70s. People. No one here is Karen fucking James.
That's very true.
Anyway.
The funny thing was the Rugby United Rugby Canada account posted a big oh, this is great news and stuff. And I kind of did retweet it and said, do you want to tell him or shall I? Because basically that was... But, you know, best of luck to him and to Canada.
Old coach? That's what I want to know.
Who was Kingsley Jones replaced? I don't know. I'll let you get onto that when I talk into the next thing. Yes. I'll talk about the Comfort Police on Cup, because only quickly to say that Connacht still have it.
I know. That's shocking.
Absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I thought... I expected them to beat Cardiff. I don't know how else to put it. I was trying to think of a clever line then, but how did they not beat Cardiff?
You absolutely did, didn't you? It's I couldn't foresee any... especially with the way the fucking Blues have played this season, I could not see any other thing where they didn't...
I mean, on one side of it, you could say that the Blues were coming towards this because they were quite close. It was dreadful, but then they were quite close with Glasgow, and I suppose and Connacht aren't playing that well, so I suppose it was coming, perhaps.
Maybe the Connacht are clearly not the force they once were.
I don't think they ever were the force they once were. It was just a very bizarre period of time altogether.
We had a weird fever dream in 2015-16, and we all collectively woke up. But, however, I know we did this last week.
Right.
But it once again opens up some very exciting possibilities for the CPC.
Right? Yeah, because who's Cardiff got next, is it?
Well, Cardiff, I don't care.
Oh, Connacht's have gone, haven't they? Sorry, my head's gone. Yeah, go on.
Yeah. See, you'd already prepared it in your head.
I had, yeah. Anyway. I can't get my brain to shift off it, yeah.
Next week, away Scarlets.
They're going to lose that, aren't they?
Yeah.
So they'll keep it next week, yeah.
Week after that, away to Ulster.
Mm-hmm. Ulster are doing well, yeah.
Then it gets interesting. Week after that, away to Oyonnax, currently rock bottom of the top 14.
Can Connacht travel to France and beat Oyonnax? That's really what we're talking about here. That's what it boils down to.
However, the week after that, at home to Worcester. Hello.
Hello. That's what we really want. Forget Oyonnax. Throw that game. Beat Worcester. Oh, yes. Cuthbert Police on Cup in the Aviva Premiership. We finally reached the promised land.
I mean, let's be honest. We've been here before. They'll probably beat the Scarlets next week.
Of course they will.
But hey, it's interesting. It's exciting. I'm excited.
We're all excited.
Everybody but two teams have had it in the Pro 12. It's boring now.
Yeah, we've had enough. It really needs to get out of there. There's only so much we can say about it when it stays in the Pro 12. Thanks to Connacht, though, for fucking it up and making it interesting a bit this season.
Exactly. Do you want to know who was Canada's head coach before Kingsley Jones?
Go for it.
Mark Anscombe.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know whether he left or whether they left him, but I mean, you'd expect the. Because, like, I know he didn't have a very good time at Ulster, but he was relatively well respected in New Zealand.
And haven't they lost the number one spot to the USA? Oh,
he was fired.
Bloody hell. Fired for Kingsley Jones. Does it get much worse than that as a top level rugby coach?
Yeah, he said, and as he left, he said that the Canadian system was broken. So, good luck, Kingsley Jones, with that.
So they brought Kingsley Jones in to fix a broken system.
Yes,
I can't see how that's not going to go extremely well.
That a man with North Harbour, New Zealand under 20, and Auckland coaching badges on his resume was unable to sort out. And Ulster.
How many photocopiers did Jones take with him, though? That's probably the clincher.
Shit loads.
He probably went to his interview with a video of the 1978 Triple Crown video and an absolute shitload of Clarity copiers. And that was all it took.
Which is why their sponsorship has vanished from Welsh rugby this year. Obviously.
So that's Kingsley Jones. Jules is one. Fee on Twitter got in touch with us, and thanks for pointing this one out. Jules Pleason has asked for £600,000.
Wow.
In a new contract. And that's like per year. That's not over a decade or anything. That's actually like per year.
For a variety of reasons, that is fucking mental. It's the Laidlaw effect, isn't it?
This is all Greg Laidlaw's fault. Oh, I didn't realise, when I talked about Laidlaw's agent before, I didn't realise it's Jason White.
Is it really?
The former Scotland coach, which probably explains a lot, because I do think Greg just sits there and says, you know, I want 450,000 pounds. Otherwise, I'm taking. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm opening the door and Jason's coming in.
All right.
But I get the thing. Remember, you won't remember this, but I remember being told by my mining family that Joe Gormley, who was the leader of the NUM in the 70s, he had one line that he trotted out at every negotiation when he went to go and speak to the NCB, which was, "I'm not having my lads going underground for less money than people are dragging bin bags around in London." It was always like that. That was the benchmark. Bin men get paid this. So I reckon now everybody's going into a negotiation like Joe Gormley and going,
"Yes,
I am not being paid less." Probably with the accent and everything, I'm not being paid less than Glacial Greg Laidlaw, by the way. So that's probably how it's going now.
Fair enough. honest.
You can't really fault me as a negotiator.
No.
Imagine being sat with the purse strings having to explain how that isn't a reasonable position for somebody to take.
It's like, I mean, on the one hand, here's our budget. On the other hand, look how much Drag Label was earning.
I just can't square it off.
No.
The only answer is to play a 19-month season to make some money.
With 700 games, including matches against teams from Australia, New Zealand, Antarctica, and the fucking moon.
Speaking of people who used to be in France, by the way, Paul Williams tweeted, Bucky's Boater is very, very fat now.
Do you know what? Good for him.
Absolutely. But he can still bang as well.
Oh, yeah. But when you think about it, like, he retired, what, last year? Yeah. Like, if you had, he's nearly 40 now, isn't he? Or maybe is 40. You know, he spent the better part of, you know, he's probably been a pro since he was, what, 18, 20, thereabouts. He's been having to live like an athlete for half his life. He has denied himself all of the tasty foods, all of the beers, occasionally. And now he's retired, he's just gone, fuck it.
I do think there's those people as well that within probably about 6 hours of retiring put about 4 stone on. Imagine what Josh Matavesi is going to look like about 3 hours after he actually retires from rugby.
Imagine what Stefan Armitage is going to look like. I mean, a couple of weeks before he retires.
Yeah, when he started to let it go. Imagine what Bastereau is going to look like. If you think about the size that Blanco went to, Blanco just looks like he's been pumped full of honey from a fire extinguisher. And that's basically what... Imagine what Bastereau will look like if that's what Blanco looks like.
Well, that's what I think Bastereau needs to play until he's at least 55 for the sake of his own health and life. Because I give him 5 years once he's done.
Yeah.
It's not like he's exactly peak condition now.
And Blanco's go back to me. He looks kind of oleaginous, doesn't he? Kind of oily. He looks like he needs like a squeegee to like wipe across his face when he's
100%.
Like at
hot. Or, I mean, a man who's in a constant state of face sweat.
Sweaty top lip permanently. Anyway.
Never wear a white shirt. Anyway.
Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, that was news. That was the news section.
Yeah, this is a rugby podcast.
Other tips on squeegeeing your own face for the sweat are available on other podcasts, obviously. Mm. What did we learn from the weekend, Josh?
Well, I learned that, not so much from the weekend, I learned that Sean O'Brien's a bit of a shit.
Yeah, he loves a bit of chatter, doesn't he? Now, let's just say this has been a divisive thing.
It has. And I get it, because everybody knows how I feel about Rob Howley. And I don't imagine...
And everybody knows how we feel about people with bland opinions, or at least that's what we, you know, that's the whole reason why we're here, really, because we don't like them. But,
I don't imagine that anything he said was particularly wrong, either. But, like, it's just a bit of a dick move, isn't it?
I don't know. I haven't looked at Sean O'Brien enough to know, is he like this a lot? Does he come out and say things like this?
I've
never noticed it, but I've never really looked.
No, he's got a reputation for straight talking, which is often a word that people use to say somebody who's an arsehole. But I mean,
we need to be careful where we're banding that around, really, given that what we are like. But I just can't help thinking. I think it puts him in the same bracket as Matt Dawson and Austin Healey in 2001. I've been out publicly and said that. Some people came back to me and said, yeah, but isn't that like they were actually on the tour? I don't know, but I'd be very, very surprised if since then there's not some kind of non-disclosure agreement they have to sign, which covers the period of the tour and some time afterwards. I think I don't know this, but I get the impression that he's come out as soon as he was allowed to by contract, basically, to ban it.
But also, and he would never have said a word if he felt he had another Lions tour in him.
That's true.
Because what he's like, straight talking in this case is just sort of shooting your mouth off when there's not really going to be any comeback or consequences for you. And I mean, any arsehole can do that. We do that literally all the time.
I don't know what you mean, but yes.
I don't know. It's just something like, I just feel like if you're a lion, that should mean something. And part of that is, even if you fucking have serious issues with A, B, or C, coach, player, or tactic, just don't go fucking spreading it about and throwing shit around a couple of weeks after. Of it,
couldn't you say that, well, he's shown how much it means to him because he's saying, I'm so gutted because we could have won. And actually, the play, it wasn't the player's fault that we didn't win. We should have had better coaching.
I mean, there's some truth in that. But A, he's living in a fucking fantasy world, because the notion that somehow Farrell and Sexton, like, totally transformed the attacking game after week one. I watched those games. I don't exactly remember a great deal of sexy attacking rugby from the Lions at any point during the tour, with the exception of that Liam Williams try, which was in the first test, by the way.
And was basically down to Liam Williams being Liam Williams.
Yeah, like, I mean...
And Ben Tail blocking a tackler, let's not forget.
Yeah. But, like, anybody could... Like, hindsight's 20-20. Anyone can look like a fucking genius by saying how things should have been done in retrospect. He wasn't fucking saying this to journalists when he was in New Zealand, was he?
Again, I think it's because there was probably an NDA in place. I think he's come out as soon as he's allowed to, because it's noticeable. I think the tour finished... On the day he came out, the tour finished, like, 70 days ago. That would be a sort of 10-week period. Since the end of the tour. I don't know. But
then he comes out with this fucking, oh, I've got total respect for all the Lions coaches line afterwards. And it's like, fuck off, mate.
If you wouldn't have said it. The day after I put the pod out, I'm going to write like a little thing in my notes on my phone and put a picture of it on Twitter. I've got total respect for everybody I took the piss out of.
Yeah.
And the fact is, I have for some of them, but not most of them. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, like, if you get caught stirring shit, so either be a straight talker and own it, or actually apologise for speaking out of turn. Don't sort of go in the middle and go, oh, I respect everyone, but I stand by what I said. What? That doesn't make any fucking sense.
No. What else have we learned for the weekend? Cardiff should generally give it to Willis Halaholo at all times.
All times.
That should be, what you know about hashtag give it to Shane? It's hashtag give it to Halaholo now.
Yes, give it to Willis.
He can carry a ball, that lad.
Oh, he can. He's very good, isn't he? I mean, he's occasionally awful, but when he's on it, he is fucking on it.
You know. And Josh Navidi, lots of tackles as well. Fair play. I also learned it could be Gloucester's year again. Seriously, though, they're playing some bloody lovely rugby. You see that 12-3
strike? They very nearly lost that game. Well, of course they did. By being Gloucester. Gloucester are still Gloucester. Don't be dulled into any sense.
Of course it's not Gloucester's year.
No.
Speaking of Gloucester, do you remember Iron Mike Teague?
Yes.
Well, big, hard Iron Mike Teague. Well, I was speaking to somebody who was around Gloucester at the time, and I didn't know this. And apparently he swam the channel once.
Really?
Yeah, but because he was Iron Mike Teague, he didn't do it in the summer like everybody else. Because that would have been too soft ass. That would be something that like Harlequins do or something. And he did it in winter. And according to Iron Mike, he had to spend at least 7 miles of the journey breaking ice with his fists as he swam.
Wow.
He also refused a support vehicle. You know, they have this like little boat beside
him. Little boat that goes alongside.
He refused that. He only did it, and he insisted on having a colossal squid swim alongside him for the entire journey, for the whole time. When he got to France, he then chinned the squid and ate it alive on the beach. Much to the horror of the families enjoying the beach at Plage de Camp Blancs-Nez.
Rightly so. I mean, like, aren't squids supposed to be quite intelligent? That's quite barbaric, really, isn't it?
It is, but, you know...
That's what
nobody's intelligent after you've been nutted.
Back rower, isn't it?
Yeah, well, when you've been nutted by Mike Teague on a beach in France, nobody's intelligent no more.
You stay nutted.
Be nutted and stay nutted. Come for the nutting, stay for the eating.
That's fascinating.
It is, yeah. It's an absolutely, completely true.
Yeah, 100%.
What else have we learned from the weekend?
I learned that the Ospreys are potentially about to go on quite a historic losing run.
Do you need the music again? I won't bother.
No, it's fine.
We'll leave it for this week.
Basically, you know the stages of grief. I'm basically at acceptance now, whatever. Next four games, right?
Yeah.
Cheetahs away. Cheetahs who just beat Leinster with a bonus point at home.
And are looking quite on fire, yeah.
Scarlets at home.
Yeah, good luck.
Claremont at home.
Even with Laidlaw?
Yeah, even with. Saracens away.
Sorry. I shouldn't laugh so loud. I do apologise to Josh and all the Ospreys fans out there for laughing quite so loud.
Their next winnable home game is Dragons at the end of next month. But to be honest with you, don't win that. Next winnable home game for them, if they're continuing to play like this, might well be when they welcome the Blues to the Liberty Stadium in January.
That's a lovely... That's like... You know, the X Factor is a depressing run-up to Christmas. That's like an even more depressing run-up to Christmas. In fact, watch the X Factor instead, Ospreys fans. That will be a less depressing run-up to Christmas.
Somebody, I turned off the Zebra game in disgust with about 10 minutes left, and somebody else was like, MasterChef's much better anyway.
The Treviso game, you mean?
Yes, yes. I'll wait until later on in the season when we lose to Zebra. It'll be fine.
Zebra were too busy beating the Southern Kings, of course.
Yes. And do you know what? Steve Tandy has now lost 6 times in Italy in his coaching career. He's only been in charge 5 years.
I've not researched this, but I'd love to know if any other coach has lost that many times in Italy who isn't a coach of an Italian team, obviously.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So it would be hard, wouldn't it?
At least one game a season, or more than one game a season, he's lost to an Italian team. And yet he's still there. Unbelievable shit. Anyway...
Oh no, is it everywhere? No, sure, stay and sort that out. We can have dinner another time. Amazing.
Whether it's cancelled plans...
get in the kitchen and calm down.
Or the need for a quick, convenient distraction. Introducing Goodfellas Mini Pizzas. 4 mini pizzas made with respect that cook in 11 minutes. Goodfellas Minis. Embrace the unexpected.
Acast recommends... Podcasts we love.
Changemakers is a new podcast series with me, Claire McKenna, talking to people who stand up, speak out, or challenge us to think a little differently.
It's about the greater good, families and children, respecting their own individuality.
In the next couple of years, I hope I never have to have conversations about racism ever again. I just want to get to the stage where, you know, people are just people.
Nobody's pooling the resources together and actually being able to show how much of an impact it will make when people do come together.
Changemakers with Claire McKenna. Search for it now wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast is home to the world's best podcasts, including the David McWilliams podcast, I'm Grandmam, and the one you're listening to right now.
What else did I learn? Henry Slade is becoming what we wanted him to be.
He is, isn't he?
Well, maybe not you, Josh, because you're a disgraceful chippy Welsh person. You don't want him to be anything.
I want him to fail miserably at everything that he does in life.
When I went to the Premiership final to watch... And I've not seen Exeter live before that, I'll be honest, about them on the television. It is noticeable. He is one of those players who looks different to everybody else when he gets the ball. He looks completely different. He does.
He's cut from a very different cloth, isn't he?
Although I do think he lets the back of his hair grow a bit too long. It makes his head look round. I don't understand why he doesn't get a full...
He's not the only person in Leicester with a...
An
unfortunate haircut.
Well, he just needs to take his grade one up to the crown, that's all.
Up to the crown. He needs to get... Well, they call it gradiated, I believe, they say. To make it... Anyway.
Barbara said to me, a barber said to me, do you want it connected or disconnected? I said, I don't know what that means. And I said, can you explain to me what they mean? And he went, well, you either have it connected or disconnected. I said, no, you've just said the same thing that you just said. You didn't explain to me what it means.
Slightly slower way.
Yeah. Anyway, go on.
Yes. It's impressive from the Chiefs in general, to be honest.
Yes.
Wasps were a bit of a bag of shit, but
it's a mixed bag this year,
isn't it?
They
were
excellent. I mean, Dye looks fuming.
All the time.
I think he looks fuming.
He sort of did a weird, like, sort of smile towards the end of the game when something...
I think he was thinking about pies,
he probably was, but yet another thing had fucked up. And they sort of panned to him and he was just kind of like, as if he was just like, today is not my fucking day.
But yet still beautifully razor creases in his shirt and the top button done.
Oh, of course.
Class.
I mean, interestingly enough, actually, speaking of Exeter and indeed Zimbabwean England international Don Armand, who was very good on Saturday.
He was very good,
I discovered, actually, as I was looking through some Exeter Chiefs message boards after the game, and apparently he only turned to rugby after his dreams of being a teenage pop sensation in his native Zimbabwe didn't take off. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Following his failure to make the judges' houses on Zimbabwe's Got Talent in 2006, He was totally inconsolable and spent the following month in Harare's many karaoke bars, where he would just infuriate the crowd repeatedly by singing his signature number over and over again, which was actually Fernando by ABBA, in an increasingly sort of sob-heavy, unpleasant way.
Like a snotty singing.
Yeah, and it got to the point where one karaoke bar basically was just kind of like so fed up of it that they turned the TV over to the Curry Cup when they had instead of the thing with the words on it, in the hope that it would just put him off his stride a little bit. But actually, it just created this weird sort of like emotional transference situation. You know, like when like a baby bird sees something that isn't its mother and like yes. imprints on it. It was basically like that, but with rugby. And so then Don Armand just refocused his passion onto becoming the best sort of workmanlike but very effective back rower.
And that's why he's become the man he's become today. Because
exactly that.
He thinks that the game of rugby is in fact his parents.
Yes.
After the
After
terrible disappointments in Zimbabwe's Got Talent.
Yeah.
In many ways, it's the oldest story in the world, isn't it?
It is. It's a tale as old as time, as Beauty and the Beast once said.
I'd love to see what the judges' houses were in Zimbabwe's Got Talent.
Yeah, I mean, let's not go there.
They probably used to belong to somebody else.
I would imagine that, yeah, they're fairly new tenants.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Let's not go down that
road.
No,
that's really good.
What else did we learn? Bailey and Aurora got in touch on Twitter to show me a link that Richard Cochrane now says is an anti-Scottish agenda from referees. Isn't it amazing how he finds anti-agendas wherever he manages to go?
It's funny that.
It's almost like he's the common denominator for all these agendas, isn't it?
It almost does, isn't it? Yeah. Other things I learned. I thought 4 weeks is a bit early for the wheels to totally come off Bath season, but here we are.
Well,
what's happened? 2 weeks ago, heroically
that
defending,
game was absolutely
winning games they shouldn't have won.
Fucking bonkers.
They can't keep relying on Rocco Degouni to literally solve all of their problems every time, because he's not actually Superman, despite appearances to the contrary at times.
You said in the first couple of weeks, and it was a good point, that he'd kind of, you know, Blackadder had kind of started turning him into the Crusaders.
Yeah.
They don't have a great deal of possession, but score enough and defend well enough to win games. It looked like that was going to be the blueprint.
Now he's turned him into the fucking Jaguares.
Yes, he has. And that game was mad. What I will say is I got in touch, I got an offer from Leo Vegas. They don't sponsor this pod or anything, but they're giving me £10 a week to bet. And I'm part of this punters union thing on a little league. And I only joined it last week because he asked me to. And I put a tenner on Newcastle to win that game. And they were 11. They were 11-2.
Nice.
I won £65. Get
Ka-ching.
That in you. Ka-ching. I'll lose it all now, but there you go.
Yeah.
What else did I learn this weekend? Nothing. Anything else from you?
I learned that Bernard Jackman was entirely right to rotate his team on the weekend.
They got absolutely kicked
by Ulster. But it was missing Henson, Hallam Amos, Tyler Morgan, Corey Hill, Zane Kirchner. There was two starters left from the team that beat Connacht last week, basically. And he got a bit of flack for it. But, like, have you seen the Dragons squad?
Yeah.
They can't fuck. They were never likely to win away at Ulster anyway. And now he's got the home games against the Kings and the Blues coming up. And, his first 15 have essentially had to rest. It's just smart.
It is smart. And you can't blame him for the shit show that's going on at Dragons, can you?
And also, it's kind of what he knows. Like, in France, they don't give a fuck about away games, so why should he?
And actually, you know, if Dragons can focus on winning as many of their home games as possible, they'll still be fucking well ahead of where they've been
for the past 3 years. About 3 games last season. If he can somehow turn that into, like, 5 games, that's progress.
Just punched my microphone. Absolutely. Shall we do shit good ratings?
Yeah, we probably should. Before we do, should we have a quick would you rather?
Oh, yeah, go on then. Sorry, I haven't got one this week. You give one for me, yeah.
Would you rather feel like how David Flatman feels when having to commentate on a backs move? Or would you rather feel like how Hugo Monier feels when someone forces him to say something negative about a professional rugby player that he knows?
That is a very, very good question. I think I would rather be slightly flummoxed by a Bax move than feel the very, very real emotional deep soul torment that Ugo must feel.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a theoretical one because I've never heard Ugo say anything negative about any player.
It's hard to know what the feeling is when it's never actually happened, yes. I do like Ugo Mbonyi, actually.
Yeah, I imagine the cognitive dissonance would sort of send him into a weird sort of fugue state.
Punditry is a mix at the end of the day, and there is something to be said for having the kind of excited one who loves everything.
Yes, indeed. Everybody needs a sort of cheerleader at times, don't they?
Speaking of punditry, I watched Scrum 5 on Sunday. Fucking hell. Seriously. They need to just, I don't know what, they need to blow it up and start, give it a new name and just start it all over again.
Yeah.
You know, and I've got, you know, Jiffy, man, I've got so much respect for him as a player and he's had his time, but honest to God, he must just sit there every year and just wait for the contract to come rolling in, laughing his tits off, because it's the easiest money in the world, isn't it?
I don't... It's BBC Wales rugby thing is a horrendous boys' club.
Oh.
Of just... Like, and you know, that's why when that guy whose name we keep forgetting...
Peter.
Peter, whatever his name is, comes on there and throws fucking grenades left and right. It's actually really good because it's like suddenly exposing this very insular clique of people who basically toe the party line and don't ever say anything controversial.
Yeah, because that feeling that Ugo Mbonyi has never had, you can see that on the couch when he starts...
100%. It's all across Martin Williams' face.
Yeah, and you can see it's brilliant because he's got like dad slacks and really shiny dad shoes on because he's quite an old guy, isn't he? He's like put his best farrows on and his shiny shoes, and he actually manspreads a bit as well. I've got a bit of respect for that as well, and just gets them all told.
Yeah, he's an old school journalist in the sense that he does not give a fuck about any kind. You know, no modern journalist can be like that because you wouldn't get any access to anyone. But he's old school enough that he doesn't give a shit. And so just says things. And
it was a classic one on Sunday when you've said it about Tandy, obviously. But, you know, it was screaming for somebody just to say, I don't think this is what, you know, this is not right for Steve Tandy anymore. But they just wouldn't. They just would not do it. I mean, you can't. And the thing is, you could say, well.
Live next door to him. Or they'll see him.
You say, well, you don't know what they're thinking, Lee. Why can't you? So, well, all right. But I can guess. I'm pretty sure they must think it's probably time for a change there, but they won't say it.
Yeah, it's like everybody forgets with Steve Tandy. He got that job when he was 32.
Yeah, like, and he's given it a good lash.
He's
given
it a good lash, but it's very obvious that he has run the fuck out of ideas now because he was only 32 when he got the job. He had no experience. It's like he's taken it as far as he can go. It's not unreasonable to go, maybe his time's... But yeah, they won't because...
Let's leave it there. So what have we got in the shit good? Well... got good. Do you want shit first?
Yeah. Right. Well, I feel like our Scrum 5 rant lends itself to...
let's move gently into the shit of the Sun Club.
Shit, Thomas Francis' new haircuts.
I haven't tucked this in over the weekend, I have to say.
I mean, there are plenty of offensive things about the Chiefs, but a 20-stone man with a shaggy blonde mullet that's shaved on the sides is challenging the established order of what is the most offensive thing about the Exeter Chiefs right now. It is terrible.
They are a walking example of what it's like to live in a bubble.
Yeah,
because anybody
team.
Else would kind of go, that hair's shit, mate. Whereas obviously it's become an accepted thing within their little bubble that terrible hair is all right.
Yeah, but they're a weird, like, they're almost like a sort of dichotomy. There's either the absurd Jack Noel-esque haircut, or everyone else on that fucking team basically looks like an action man or a Ken doll. It's like there are two options in the Exeter barbers. Short back and sides with a little bit of flick up at the front, or just mental shit. And there's literally no room for anything else.
I love the idea of sitting in the chair going, what'd it be today then? Short back and sides or mental shit? What do you feel like?
And Jack Noel invariably says, mental shit.
Well, weirdly,
always.
Jack Noel kind of goes, can I have short back and sides on 30% of my hair and then mental shit on the rest, please?
And he goes, I'm afraid that comes under the jurisdiction of mental shit, I'm afraid.
Yes. You're still paying the mental shit price, Jack. Don't try and get out of it. It's still £12.
Yeah. Because I was looking at their substitute, like, whenever they brought a substitute on in the game yesterday, it was just kind of like they'd got them out of some sort of fucking mould round the back of fucking Sandy Park. It's another fucking massive bloke with a sort of short back and size haircut and who's clean shaven, who looks like he's sort of left school about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, it looks like Rob Baxter. Looks like a sort of younger, cloned version of Rob Baxter.
They all look like various evolutions of Henry Slade, basically. Like, some are bigger, some are shorter, but they've all got the same haircut and the same sort of, like, boyish, blue-eyed sort of... I mean, God, this is getting a bit eugenical, isn't it?
It is. Maybe that's their plan. I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe that's the real... All that feather stuff is just is a smokescreen.
It's an absolute distraction.
For the eugenics lab that they've got underneath Sandy Park.
That's how they're breaking even.
They're literally
funded by
growing.
Nazi gold.
And they're growing people in the cellar.
Tony Rowe, Nazi gold, eugenics. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
What else was shit? London Irish.
Yeah.
The thing is, Saints, fair dues, Saints of the weekend, but you can't really judge anything against that London Irish team, can you?
No, they have gone...
Do you think people were just surprised
really
the first
week? Like a game and a half.
You think the first week people just kind of went, oh, fucking hell. Oh, right, yeah. Okay. And then went, all right, okay, well, yeah, we'll sort this out now. I was just a bit too surprised. When you, like, when you first
went, oh, that pack, though. But what they realised was that pack is all about 700 years old and they just had that one game in them.
It's a bit like when your new batsman comes in, you know, and you go, oh, that was a bit quick sort of thing. Mm. Or nearly out there. Oh, sorry, I've got the measure of it now. That's fine.
Yeah. Oh, it's fine. Start spanking it for six.
Oh, he's bowling it a bit short, right? I'll just start clipping it now. So that was the London Irish. Not else to say. I don't really know where they go from here because that forward pack was going to be something that was going to be
good, apparently. Yeah.
Good, and it was, but they've just not played like that since the first weekend. No. And I'm not sure what they've got. They've got some all right talent behind Lewington, etc., but I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long season.
They're in trouble, aren't they?
Well, not as much trouble as Worcester, obviously, but.
No.
Speaking of Worcester and Hare, lots of people. Sam Drew got in touch via email, actually, which is unusual to give a shit. And he said, "Shit was the Afghan hound that was skinned to make the abomination on top of Dave Denton's head." He also said that, as well as that, also shit was Dave Denton.
I mean, that's almost a standing item, though, isn't it?
I had to look about three times at Dave Denton to figure out that it was Dave Denton with that hair. I had to look and go, "Who's that?" Fucking hell, that's Dave Denton. He's gone from the Claire Baldwin Swayze 80s hair to this, well, I don't know how to describe it, really.
I still haven't seen this.
Have you not? Well, he's grown it long. It's like a bob, and it's curly, but then he ties it up in the top, in a top thing, like Bam Bam from Flintstones. He has a top of it tied up like that, and all his curly stuff coming down the side.
I mean, again, I have to say another... incredibly topical reference on our part.
Oh, yeah, Bam Bam from the Flintstones is right up there. Never mind Rick and Morty and the regular show. It's Bam Bam from the Flintstones.
100%. I'm now definitely Googling that.
All right, while you do that, I'll keep talking.
Yes.
Another shit that we've had then is Tom Finch got in touch and he said, "I think this might be worthy of discussion tonight." He said, "Now listen to this, Josh. Listen to this music and what do you think this is soundtracking?" Oh, I've lost a bloody tweet now.
That truly terrible haircut.
That is a truly terrible haircut.
That is awful. It's like 80s hair mixed with like a bush.
Right, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. Eddie Butler montage.
Yeah, what do you think that is soundtracking? And Eddie Butler montage. Yeah, actually, it could just be, you know, the players, the ball, the match. But it's not that.
On Sky Sports.
Yes, the massive game. What do you think that's soundtracking?
Something absurd.
It's soundtracking Northampton Saints' teaser video for their European shirt.
Well,
and it's basically it's that music over somebody zooming into the the bloke's bicep as he's smoothing the European Champions Cup thing over his arm. Then it zooms in on Hankook tyres on his across his shoulder blades.
Lovely.
Then it goes to the other arm.
There 5 minutes.
Then it says Northampton Saints, and then it gives a date, 26th of the 9th, 2017. God. Then it ends.
I'm basically immune to histrionic over-the-top shirt launches, but it is incredibly silly.
I mean, you run a rugby shirt, size. You get a lot of
it's
this stuff.
It's a fucking shirt, guys.
And not only that, it's a kind of fourth shirt.
Yeah, it's a shirt you're going to wear for a... You're in a group with Saracens and Clermont Auvergne. You're wearing that for at most 6 games, and then you're going home. It's...
Here's a one just come through on Twitter from James Owen, who said, and this is true, I'm not sure if this is shit or good, but I've just realised that John Kingston looks like an older version of Peter Griffin from Family Guy.
Fucking does, actually, doesn't
he? That is absolutely spot on. That is brilliant.
For a while I thought he looks like an inflated Postman Pat, but now, yeah, I mean, take your pick, really.
With your face like an inflated Postman Pat. Outstanding.
Other shits then.
Yeah, go on then.
I can't resist, so I'm just going to say it. Gruff Reese. I'm not going to have a big rant again this week.
Oh, the Ospreys again. He's the attack coach.
Yeah, Ospreys attack coach, Gruff Reese. I'm not going to have another big rant about it this week, but he's probably the only man on earth who looks at Rob Howley's game plan and thinks, that is dangerously, dangerously progressive.
Chaos. Absolute chaos.
If they couldn't score a try against Treviso with Reese Webb and Keelan Giles on the field, I'm sorry, but like, if you'd put the two of them on their own against the full Treviso 15, I would expect them to at least bag one each.
Sorry, I managed to start that video again there. I do apologise.
Yeah. Well, it kind of added a sort of weird, like, dramatic...
like a Chinese symbol at the end.
I'm done there. Yeah. Done. Robin the living. Next.
That's how we'll finish out. That's how we'll move it on.
Yeah.
Now on. You're going on too long. Have the Chinese gong.
Dun, dun. Also, final shit for me, actually, Michele Rizzo. I know a lot of people, that's another one that's been dividing opinion this week, but his red card against the Scarlets.
Yeah. The Black and Red got in touch with us, long-time friend of the pod, asked me what I thought about it, and I... What was your view of it? You were about to say then before I jumped the gun.
Yeah, I think it was kind of a textbook example of the sort of dangerous shithousery that often gets missed, to be honest. Like, whether or not he made contact with the head and with what part of his body he made contact with the head with, it certainly looked like he put a fucking shoulder into his head. Flying clear outs of unprotected players should be zero tolerated, in my, like, regardless of where it hits. Like, remember the back he's put on Adam Jones thing in 2009, which is a pretty identical thing. It's super dangerous, regardless of whether it makes contact with the head.
Yeah, and even if you disagree with that point, that it's all, the game's gone soft and it's not that dangerous, even if you do, the fact is that every player now should know that if you do that kind of hit, you can try and sort of caveat yourself out of it as much as you want. The fact is you're running the risk of getting a red card. And fans can go, I say blame the player now, because actually it's not like they don't know. Well, you can say what you like, what that means for the sport. It doesn't matter. That's what the rule is now. So if you're going to be stupid enough to do it, you run the risk of getting a red card, and you can't really complain about it that much.
Yeah, and if you put your arm up like that and look like you're leading with either the shoulder or the upper arm in a sort of clothesline movement and then throw yourself across the ruck at someone's upper body, you might as well just walk yourself off. Because they are always going to send you off in that situation.
What other shit have we got here? David from Twitter, Tweediatrics, said, shit, nobody squirting water at James Haskell this week.
I was begging somebody like, should have little, been, just like the physio just came on and just like give him a little squirt just to see if it works in all situations or just when he's been.
There's probably
the
nobody
up.
Who's a real shit house enough in the Exeter. They're a bit too, I mean, they're tough Exeter, but they're a bit too
there's nobody who's a professed wind-up merchant there, is
not
there?
Not really.
No.
Not really.
Yes. I'm sure somebody in the... I'm sure the Autumn Internationals will bring ample opportunity to... Although, actually, he's not in the squad, is he? So
he will be. No, he's not in the training squad. He'll be... Don't get my hopes up. This is just a rest and alliance thing. He'll be...
Yeah,
Marcus
he's
Smith's
right.
been called up to that training squad, by the way.
Yeah.
Which is going to do a lot for the fact that... Has he been knighted yet, by the way? I'm sure
no,
he must...
not yet. But, I mean, give him a week.
But it's funny because that's how to dial the hype down, obviously, by calling him into the England squad. And then obviously I can see what Jones is saying. Now, hang on a minute. You know, he's just coming as an apprentice. We can kind of have a look at him. But surely, what the fuck is Eddie doing with this time that he can't go to Harlequins, which are in London, no, and watch him train for 2 full weeks?
I just knocked something off the desk there.
Wasn't your cat, was it?
Yeah, I had a right fucking racket. Yeah, no, I completely agree. I kind of get it when like the All Blacks take someone on tours, like they take a couple of apprentices on tour so that they can basically see them on tour and see what they like and get a measure of them. But like calling them into a fucking camp in Bournemouth for a couple of days isn't radically going to change anything that they already knew about him, is it, really?
Maybe they just want to see if he looks that young up close.
Yeah, maybe
it's unnerving.
It's
got to
be CGI or makeup.
It must be, yeah. What else have we got that's shit? Anything else?
Nothing from me. I think I'm done.
Bruce McConaughey got in touch, and this goes into good, because Mike Brown has managed to straggle both good and shit this week.
Hasn't he?
But essentially saying the same thing. Bruce McConaughey got in touch, and he said, shit for me, he's having to constantly listen to people justify Mike Brown being an utter C-word as passion and fobbing it off as an asset.
Yeah, that does wind me up. And then on the flip side, good. And I'll just get right in there and trump what everybody else is inevitably going to say about it, is Greg Bateman, not just for scoring a bloody lovely try with a beautiful angle, impressive pace, and remarkable agility for a prop.
Yes.
But more importantly, for the fact that he absolutely skinned a flailing Mike Brown in the process, leaving him face down in the dirt. Just a few short minutes after, as well, Brown had demonstrated what an absolute end of a man he is by trying to start a shoving match with Johnny May after he'd scored for literally zero reason. It was glorious. It was like karma in action.
Although, that Bateman try was great, but generally, down with this sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Props doing this sort of thing is just not on. This is end of time stuff.
The problem is that I was thinking earlier, it's like, oh, it's great to see a front rower do that. And I was like, actually, you have to qualify that shit these days, because hookers are scoring tries like that every fucking week now. Like, so we now have to just exclusively say props. And I think we're at a point where we're going to have to say tight heads.
Probably.
Because loose heads are sort of, you know, there's been a Gethin Jenkinsy kind of vibe to loose heads for a while now.
Yeah, John Welsh at Newcastle, he moves a bit, doesn't he? Or is he a tight end? I can't remember.
Yeah.
I don't pay that much attention to the front row, I'll be honest.
No, but yeah, it's like increasingly front rowers are getting ideas above their station, and I think we probably need to...
Yeah, and that's where Premier Rugby should be focusing their attention.
Yeah.
You know, long seasons, you know, put front rowers back in their place. They'll be in the line next, they'll be lurking in the 12 channel, fucking ruining everything for everyone.
Make front rowers play 80 minutes, then see how many of them fancy hitting the fucking line and yeah, dancing true. Over.
What else was good for me this weekend? Jared Evans' winning kick.
Oh, I love that.
It went at a right angle.
Tractor out.
Absolutely glorious. Literally stopped at a T-junction and turned right before it went through the end.
That is the only way to kick goals successfully in Galway.
Yeah, it is, absolutely.
There is no other way. The wind is constantly causing everything to go at right angles. So fair play to understanding the conditions.
Also in the Leicester game was the Tolisso-Vianu run.
Oh, that was lovely.
Who looked like he was
going
to get caught about at least 12 times. Still didn't get caught.
Yeah. I was like, what's that game? The one with the Frogger. It was a bit like Frogger.
Yeah, all of those types. I think somebody referred to it as Temple Run. That's a modern game. I don't understand that. I'm more Flintstones and Frogger. Yeah.
Speaking of that Blues game, actually, Sean Edwards.
Yes.
In the good column for Blues looked like a defensive shambles for most of the first couple of weeks of the season. And then their win at Connacht. 245 tackles, 95% success ratio. If you're telling me that he's had nothing to do with that, I will call bullshit.
Can you imagine the horror in his eyes the first week that he turned up watching all them playing?
When he saw Matthew Morgan, when he was looking at Matthew Morgan's tape. Get out! Never come back.
Anything to say about what the training session today, Sean? You're an absolute bunch of soft cunts.
I'm honestly surprised that he just didn't beat Matthew Morgan to death. Offending him, and it's just
if you defend like that again, I'm going to beat you up with Matthew Morgan, he probably said.
Yeah, that is now Matthew Morgan's role at Cardiff Blues. Yeah, he is. Literally Sean Edwards' stick.
Sean Edwards' whacker, yeah. what else was good? Johnny, yeah, going back to Mike Brown. Johnny May on Mike Brown was heard to say he's painful. And this is my favourite quote ever, says Reese Knott on Twitter. Yeah, he's painful.
I mean, he is right.
Carl on Twitter, Carl Cardiff, said good was Reese Patchell. Surely merits consideration for Wales this option. Now, you see, you would think that, wouldn't you, Carl? Especially with Gatland's law being in place, but, you know.
Yes.
It's probably not going to happen, is it?
No, it should do, though. Like, people got really shirty when he left the Blues, but it's been a fantastic career move for him.
Yeah.
He's playing 10 every week, which he wasn't at the Blues, and he's orchestrating the kind of rugby that everybody wishes that Wales were playing. So, 100% should be involved with Wales. 100% almost certainly won't.
What else have we got that's good? Well, John Jarman got in touch, and he sent us, he said, I've got no idea if this is shit or good, and honestly, I don't know which one it was. This is the one, have you seen the clip of the guy ripping the post pad off?
Yeah, that was weird as fuck.
What's going on? I mean,
I don't know,
he was obviously in his eye
there.
Line, wasn't it? You know, like when you're trying to watch telly and the kids in front of the telly go, move, get out of the way of the telly. So I can see why he's looking, and he obviously, I can't see a thing here. So instead of, well, I suppose in his mind he thought, well, I can't step forward because I'll be offside. And I can't step round the post because I'll be out of position. So my only option
is to remove the post.
But it's the way the ref immediately just like blew the whistle and was like, what the fuck are you doing?
But it's like, did he think that by like maybe removing the like thing around the post that he would stop the sort of player touching it at the base of the post thing?
It's very much, it's like, along the same lines as remember when Conor Lishvili for Claremont pushed Wayne Barnes out of the way?
Yes.
Because he was trying to look at where the like, ball was.
Yeah. Occasionally hazards will appear that you will have to work with. You can't just get them out of your
Barnes
way.
Barnes just kind of blew the whistle and went, you can ask me to get out of the way, but you seriously, you can't push me? What are you doing? And it was a bit like that. Wasn't it? Look, I know it's you can't take the post pad off. What is wrong with you?
Of course you can't do that. You idiot.
What else have we got that's good?
Thomas Young might have only made it 20 minutes off the bench for Wasps yesterday after being injured. But yeah, he's brilliant. Like, stole ball, tackled, made a nuisance of himself on the deck. He should 100, especially with Warburton and Ellis Jenkins both injured. He should be heavily, and Thingy Davis as well. Like, he should 100% be involved for Wales in the autumn.
Yes.
Like, there's no way he can't be, surely.
Cubby Bobby Davis injured.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, well, he probably will be in the Wales squad. He'll be playing 10 before Reese Patchell does, probably.
Probably, yeah. I mean, there's no other fucker left to play 7. There's Justin Tipperick. There is...
Can Navidi shift round there?
He'd rather he didn't.
No, he put a good shift in at the weekend, but you wouldn't want him playing international rugby, would you?
No. Well, I've seen him play international rugby, and right, so no, thank you.
You want to play international rugby again, yeah.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, Ollie Griffiths or him, I'd take him every day.
Colin Hotchkiss got in touch. Good. Finn Russell
good
has a
name.
Yes, has a 100% kicking record this season, does Finn Russell?
Yes, he's broken Dan Bigger's record for consecutive kicks. Consecutive, so I went a bit South African then.
You're fucking with the wrong people.
Gangbangers, gotta love them.
Any more good from you?
16 out of 16 was
that's not
Finn
bad,
Russell's.
Is it? Fair play.
Yeah, Dan Bigger previously had 15 out of 15 to start the season. He has broken that, so it's good news given that Glasil Greg is probably not going to be involved with Scotland going forward as much. So, could do with a goal kicker.
Any more good from you?
Just Henry Slade, really, but we've already talked about him. Just he's going to got to be England's 13 going forward, surely, given that he's discarded Jonathan Joseph. Who the fuck else is he going to play there?
Well, if he's playing like that, he has to play 13 for England, I think, because it's just because he really is a different class of player when he plays well.
100%.
What else we got that's good then? A couple more off Twitter before we finish. Michael Milner-Watt got in touch and said good was Leonardo Sarto. Smashed through 7 Munstermen to set up Scott Cumming.
We haven't
really
talked about
good.
Glasgow, but very
no, actually, well, do you remember when we got somebody had a go at us in our first season for not speaking about Glasgow? So we did an entire section with the Taggart theme music to it just to address the balance.
We did, didn't we?
But so I promise we won't go down that road too far. We will give Glasgow some credit. I think it's because, you know, there's only so much Pro 14 time we can give, and Josh has got a lot of it marked down to our kickoff about the Ospreys. So
yeah, you've got to give me my therapy, otherwise I will have a bad week. So you know.
Aunt P's got in touch and said, good, is John Kingston, there's a lot of John Kingston this week, is John Kingston's shirt collar for courage in the face of adversity? He said, seriously, just get a bigger shirt.
I mean, I don't wish to be that guy, but maybe there is an option that there isn't a bigger shirt available.
The thing is with John Kingston, because if you get a massive collared shirt, the arms are like an orangutan's, aren't they? Because you're assumed to be a really...
Yeah, you don't want to go
too... So he's probably... We've done barbering, we've done tailoring, we've done insulting John Kingston. What more do we need for this week?
I think that's only go up to 3XL, I think. So, you know.
I reckon it's tailor-made, that, isn't it, for a proper shirt? It's got to be.
You don't.
Because he had a tie on the weekend. He shifted out of his normal
I've noticed lounge that. He started to dress smart, which is weird.
It is, yeah. Maybe he thinks a bit of tailoring will give him a slimming silhouette.
I mean, it's worth a try.
It is worth a try, isn't it? And, you know, and let's give credit to John. Trying to give yourself a bit of self worth with his tailoring. Yeah, good for you,
good
John.
Good luck for you. Good. Fucking
fuck us, John. Don't listen to us.
You do you, John. Fuck us, whinging cunts.
Be the best you can be. That's exactly what we say every week about everything. So, ladies and gentlemen, you be the best you can be while you go around this commute that you're on, probably, or the fact that you've probably turned off an hour ago doesn't really matter to us. You just be the best you can be.
Carry on. Especially if you're one of those weirdos who listens to us in the gym, literally.
No, seriously, if you're in the gym now, come on, be the best you can be and keep going. I had personal training yesterday, and the top half, for the first time in years, on the top half of my body, I'll be honest, feels like Dresden. So basically, I know how you feel.
I know that feeling well.
I know how you feel. Yeah. We'll see you all next week. Thank you for tuning in.
Take care, everybody.
Ta-da.
Oh no, is it everywhere? No, sure, stay and sort that out. We can have dinner another time. Amazing.
Whether it's cancelled plans...
get in the kitchen and calm down.
Or the need for a quick, convenient distraction. Introducing Goodfella's Mini Pizzas. 4 mini pizzas made with respect that cook in 11 minutes. Goodfella's Minis. Embrace the unexpected.
Sports Social Podcast Network.